This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We are joined by Toby Leary for Two-Way Tuesdays, and that means it is your time to call in. It's 844-500-4242. Toby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's always great to be here, Grace. Thanks so much for having me. I look forward to it every week.
And we have plenty to go over. I am going to let people get on the lines, Toby. And if you don't mind, I think you're going to like this as well. I have two cuts that I've been dying to play all day. And while we get people on the lines for 2A Tuesday, I'd be remiss if everyone didn't get a chance to hear these. So the number again, while you get on the lines, is 844-500-4242. Any questions you have about guns, about ammo, about licenses, Toby is the person to ask. He is the expert in the room, and for the next hour, you can ask him anything you want. 844-500-4242. So Maricopa County has really been the example of Election Day disasters, and the Maricopa County Supervisors Board had a meeting, and there was a few different people, actually, one journalist, a few different women, who got up and voice their opinions about how underwhelmed they were by the performance in Maricopa County. And, you know, we hear all the time how this is normal, you know, fact check, it's normal for it to take this long. It's normal that in 2022 it takes, you know, 2 weeks longer than it did in 1995 to count ballots. But I thought that this woman, and I want to give her credit, her name is Denise Babian, and she was on with Steve Bannon on The War Room. She did such a wonderful job explaining how so many people feel, not just in Maricopa County, but across this country. And the level of uncertainty and the lack of trust people have in the integrity of these elections, she just really summed it up nicely. So this is the first cut. This is Denise Babian at the Maricopa County Supervisors Board. This is cut eight.
To Mr. Richer, I have to tell you that your voter rolls are a disaster. I banged on over 6,000 doors. And those, when you pull up the names of who's supposed to be living at the households, there are sometimes 7 or 8 or 9 people listed, and not one of those people are the person I'm talking to at the front door. And that person does not know who any of these people are. That happens, I'd say, at least half of the time I knock on doors and get to talk to people. Same thing happened in 2020. I banged on over 4,000 doors that year, same exact result. Nothing's changed. This was not a crystal clear election, as you say. You thanked all of your workers and all of the 3,000 Arizonans that gave up their time and energy to do this. Did you see the latest Rasmussen poll that came out? It reads, survey of election workers, poll watchers, and volunteer attorneys reveals election chaos in Maricopa County. 84.3% of the people that took this poll say that they have zero confidence. 84% of poll workers in Maricopa have zero confidence in our election process from this year. You're wrong.
And she went on, and this is the part I really liked, because I think sometimes when you get these boards of supervisors, these experts, these officials, they have a level of smugness where they're not used to being called out. They're used to having these meetings and people like Denise Babian not showing up. And so they can do everything, they can vote on everything, and they don't get any pushback. And that's changed a lot in the last couple of years. I think a big part of it was COVID. It started getting people very much involved in these types of meetings. But listen to how she dresses down this group of supervisors. This is cut nine.
You don't consult with we the people. You think you know and you don't. I'm addressing Mr. Richer at the moment. Also, I would like to tell you that I electioneered all throughout my district, and that was 10 different polls that I electioneered at. And every single one of those polls, I had people coming out, panic-stricken because they were freaking out that their ballot was not accepted. They did not know if it was legitimate. They were told to throw it into the famous, infamous box number 3, or they were told to go and come back another time. Every poll I visited, I had no idea what to tell them because I'm outside as an electioneer. They're coming to our tent asking us what to do. So that's something else. And I want to know from all of you, how do we get to address the questions that were coming up and concerns, the gal before me, the concerns that we have, machines breaking down. You're going to listen to us talk for 2 minutes and then you're going to go off. You know something? I feel that you guys forget you represent we the people. And it's our concerns here. We have no confidence at all in our election process.
I've said this before, whether or not you think these things are run perfectly or you think there's a lot of problems, it should bother everyone when such a huge portion of the population feels the way that woman does. That's a problem for all of us. So really well done. I tweeted out that video if anyone wants to see it. All right, now we've got Toby Leary on the line. And Toby, before we go to the callers here, we've got a few people already ready to go. I have to ask you, Philip Wegman, he's from Real Clear Politics. He was asking Karine Jean-Pierre if the president really wants to ban all automatic weapons, as he has said. I think the funniest part of a lot of these questions is you can almost hear from the reporters how they agree with Joe Biden. They're just not sure if he's going to hold up his end of the bargain. But we've talked about this promise before. What's your reaction to Joe Biden's claim that he's going to ban all automatic weapons?
Well, what he said on Thanksgiving morning was he wanted to ban all semi-automatic weapons. Or he said the fact that you can still buy a semi-automatic weapon in America is, you know, a tragedy or something, whatever the exact words he used. But the funniest part of that is they ask his press secretary to clarify what he said. I mean, he was very clear what he said, but they're like, when Joe Biden said he wanted to ban semi-automatic weapons, did he mean semi-automatic weapons? No, of course he didn't mean semi-automatic weapons. He was talking about assault weapons, which under the definition of assault weapon that they're talking about is in fact a semi-automatic weapon. So I think Joe said the quiet part out loud again, like this is obviously the direction they are headed. And technically, a revolver is a semi-automatic weapon. So the point is, I don't even think they'd be happy if we all had single-shot rifles, to be honest, because that they'd find someone who managed to shoot themselves or some neighbor of theirs. And the point is, they're never going to cease, they're never going to roll over, and they're never going to stop trying to ban weapons until every last one of them is banned. And they used to say, no one's coming for your guns. Nobody's coming to take your guns away. Now they're saying it's a tragedy that you can still walk into a gun store and buy a semi-automatic weapon. So the good news is I don't think they have the votes to ban semi-automatic weapons or assault weapons, as Joe Biden likes to call them. But Chris Murphy said on Sunday on the Talking Head shows that it doesn't look like they have enough votes to get to the 60 votes in this lame duck session, even though it's already passed the House of Representatives, H.R. 1808. But, you know, they're not going to stop trying. And they said if they pick up another Senate seat, and he was, you know, giving reference to the Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker runoff, then he said maybe we can do it then. So that makes it sound like they're very close to having the votes, but maybe one or two off. But the bottom line is we can never grow complacent. We can never fall asleep. We can never just say that, oh, this will never happen, which is arguments I've heard for years and decades, really. They won't cease. They're a well-funded machine. The government has outsourced the censorship bureau of the federal government to the media, mainstream media. And they have the message on point week after week, night after night on the evening news. And, it's going to wear people down eventually. So we have to be putting out a positive message of safe and responsible gun ownership in America.
Really well said, Toby. Let's go to Harry. You're up first with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Harry.
Hi, how you doing? I got a Savage one. I just recently bought it, a Savage 110. Elite and 6.5 Creedmoor. The barrel's about 26 inches long. I tried taking the bolt out and looking down. There's no way in heck I could do it. So somebody said you could use a laser that goes into your receiver. I just wanted to know what you would, how you would sight it in. I got a Venom, I got a Vortex Venom on there, and I just wanted to know, without wasting a whole bunch of ammunition, what you do to sight it in.
Yeah, no, I think that's some good advice that your friend gave you, Harry, and that's an excellent rifle. I have several of those on the shelf right now, and they're what I consider one of the best values in the long-range rifle game. It comes with a beautiful chassis. It's a precision rifle, the E110 Precision, Elite Precision. 6.5 Creedmoor is a great nominally priced round to shoot through that. And I think the best bet is to get one of those laser aids. You can stick right in the, you know, you put the bolt forward and it chambers this laser aid, if you will, laser sighting device, and it'll put it out on paper, and you'll be able to see it through the scope. That'll probably get you on paper at about 50 yards, and then you'll have to make adjustments from there. But it's pretty easy. You should be able to get it zeroed with, you know, a box of ammo if you're doing things right, if you know what you're doing. And that laser bore sight would certainly help, and they're fairly reasonably priced. I think they're less than $20 to get. So that'll help you get on paper and get sighted in and start dialing it in. So good luck with that, Harry. You've got a phenomenal rifle for a lot of value for the money with that rifle.
All right. Thank you, Harry. If you want to call in and ask Toby your question, the number is 844-500-4242. We also have a few texts coming in. The number there is 617-213-1066. Just remember to start the text with the word Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y. We will be right back with more from Toby from Cape Gunworks. And I want to let you guys know that Black Friday is on now at Kayans, and it's time to lean back and save on the awesome stressless chair at Kayans, located in Plymouth, Mass. And right now, you can buy a stressless recliner, sofa, or an amazing office chair, and get up to a $1,500 credit towards the purchase of more incredible stressless products. Or you can save $400 on a stressless signature-based recliner with ottoman and motorized classic power recliners. I know people who swear by the stressless line of chairs. I sit in a chair all day long. If you're sitting in a chair all day long, you want it to be comfortable. If you're sitting on a couch, if you're binging Netflix, you never want that extra pressure on your back or on your neck. You want to be comfortable and cozy, and there's never been a better time to have a stressless comfort for less. To see the best selection of stressless products, go to Kayans, located at 96 Long Pond Road in Plymouth, or go to kahians.com. That's kahians.com. We will be right back with your questions for Toby Leary. The number is 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes!
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Monetary Gold. The red wave not happening was not what the stock market was expecting. It was unexpected. The pre-election rally may be over, and this is all the more reason for you to protect your assets. You need Monetary Gold's free wealth protection guide, so order yours today at monetarygold.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will there be a rail strike?
Yes, I think there will be. In the case of Joe Biden, if he's in charge of trying to stop this, and now he's passing the buck to Congress, I'm going to say it's probably not going to go well.
Up to 72% now, I believe, yes.
All right, let's go back to the callers here. We have Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks on the line. That means if you have any Second Amendment questions, now is the time to ask them. Even if it's a specific brand of gun or a specific type of ammunition, Toby can really handle most of everything. I mean, once in a blue moon, he gets stumped, and then he gets torn apart on the message boards online. So it's really a win-win situation for us all. So let's go to Kay. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Kay.
Hi, this is Kay. And years ago, my husband acquired a double barrel shotgun that he said shot powder. And now my husband has passed, and it's still hanging on the wall, but it's an antique for sure.
So it sounds like it was a black powder shotgun, which means, you know, it was a more of a primitive firearm. And it was, if it's antique, it was made prior to 1899. So then you could, in fact, hang it on the wall without having a trigger lock or something like that on it. So we refer to them in the industry as wall hangers. They're not really good for, you know, hunting or for sporting purposes nowadays in a lot of cases. But they make a nice addition to the study or the over the fireplace type of thing. So if it is, in fact, an antique made prior to 1899, you don't need to have a permit to own it. You don't need to have a license to carry or a FID card in the state of Massachusetts. So
he said it could even shoot bullets. I don't understand that.
Shotguns can do both. They can shoot shot or single projectiles called slugs. One of the easiest ways to tell is if it has hammers on it. Sometimes it's pretty obvious it's a early shotgun, exposed hammers on it. But if it doesn't, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not. So I would say if you wanted to get rid of it, give us a call at Cape Gunworks. We'd be happy to help you out with that. Or if it is truly an antique, you could just leave it there forever. But or we could make a house call for you. We've done that many times as well. So feel free to give us a call over at the shop there, Kay, and we'll help you out any way you want.
Now, Toby, I'm not saying that I don't know what hammers are, but if there was someone hypothetically out there who didn't know what they were, again, not me, just someone out there, could you explain to them what that is?
Yeah, so a hammer is something that's on the outside of the action. It's kind of like what you'd see in the old Peter Pan, you know, whatever, where they actually thumb it backwards and it clicks in the rearward position. And then when you press the trigger, the hammer goes forward, which obviously I would suggest you don't press the trigger unless you can confirm it's unloaded. But you would see two exposed hammer or pieces of metal on a hinge that would be resting in the downward position, that when you thumb them back, they'll go forward when you press the trigger. So that's what it is.
Got it.
Modern guns don't really have the external hammer visible on shotguns unless they're a reproduction of an old gun. So, but they're visible on the outside action of the gun.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for that clarification. I will tell my friend who didn't know what they were what the explanation is. Fred, you're up next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. And again, if anyone wants to call in, we still have plenty of time. It's 844-500-4242. Go ahead, Fred. The floor is yours.
Good afternoon, Grace, Toby. I recently picked up a CCW, and I was looking at both the USCCA and the US Law Shield. I was wondering, what are the pros and cons of each, you know, in a quick summation?
Yep. The USCCA covers you in all 50 states. The U.S. Law Shield, you just got to buy a little bit of extra insurance. Right out of the gate, the U.S. Law Shield is a little bit cheaper than the USCCA. They both kind of have their pros and cons, and they don't, you know, cover everything that the other one covers. There's some holes in each on each of them. But I am very familiar with both products, and they're both really, really good. One of the biggest advantages to U.S. Law Shield is the fact that you can call an attorney with a gun-related question, and they give you two different phone numbers. One, if it's an emergency, if you were involved in a defensive incident, you get the red number, kind of like the bat number. You call an attorney, and they lead you through what to do. Or the other number is if you just have some firearms-related question, you can call it, and they'll get back to you with the answer. But both services are excellent, and the USCCA does a lot of training and, you know, produces a lot of great material on training and education. So I recommend them both. I wouldn't say you need both, but I do recommend both of those.
All right. Thank you, Toby, and thank you, Fred. We still have plenty of time to take more of your questions for Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. The number for you to get on the line is 844-500-4242. One more time, it's 844-500-4242. Back with all of your questions for Toby right after the break.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. And just a quick reminder to everyone out there listening, you still have time to book a room for the Grace Curley Listener Getaway at the Follinsby Inn in North Sutton, New Hampshire. It's going to be a really fun time. We've done this before, and I don't want to brag, but the first Listener Getaway got rave reviews. We had to put it on hold for a while because of COVID, but we're back. And we're hoping it's going to be better than ever. And I have no doubt that Dennis Swords from the Follinsby Inn is going to make you very happy when it comes to the beautiful spa that you'll be staying in, but also the delicious food that we will all be enjoying. So if you want to book a room, you still have time. There are a few rooms left. It's FollinsbyInn.com. Make sure the dates work for you. It's December 9th and 10th. And hop on that now before they run out. FollinsbyInn.com. All right, let's go to Junior. You're up next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Junior.
Good afternoon, Grace and Toby. A long-time listener. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question for Toby. I heard on the commercials that to help me get my LTC, how can I go about that?
Yeah, great question, Junior. Unfortunately, in this state, they don't exactly recognize your right to keep and bear arms as afforded to you by the Constitution. So you still have to go through a process, pay a fee, take a class, get fingerprinted, photographed, extensively background checked, and wait probably anywhere from 1 to 3 months. And then they will give you something called either an FID card or a concealed carry permit or a license to carry, which will enable you to buy a firearm in this state. So we don't recognize your right to keep and bear arms here. We require that you go through all those hoops. And the first hoop to jump through is to just take a class that's from a instructor who's, you know, licensed by the state or recognized by the state to do that. We have about six to eight classes a week, depending on the month. So there's many different classes for you to get involved in. There's two class offerings. One is a four-hour classroom portion where we cover all the stuff required by the state. And then we also have what we call a live fire class where you still do the four-hour classroom portion, but then you go out on the range and you get to shoot a handgun. We don't want to confuse this class with like a shooting class or how to shoot my gun class. This is the how to get my license class. So we're kind of teaching to the test, like they say in the schools for the MCAS. But what we're doing is giving you all the information you need that's required by the state. Then you can go down to the local police department and pay the fee and get the process started with the certificate that we'll give you at the end of the class. So you can go right to CapeGunworks.com and sign up for the class that suits your schedule. And we'll get you started, Junior, down the long, arduous process of exercising your Second Amendment right in Massachusetts.
All right. Thank you for the question, Junior. Let's go to Maria. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Maria.
Yes. Hi, Toby. I have an LTC, and I have a couple of handguns. A friend of mine is moving out of the country and has several weapons that he wants to sell. How do I go about, what kind of paperwork do I need to purchase these from an individual? I've only purchased firearms from you folks, not from an individual. What's the process?
Well, your friend is only able to sell four of those privately. So if he has more than four guns that he wants to sell, he'll have to do it through a local gun shop. So he could bring them into Cape Gunworks with you, and we can facilitate that transfer. Or, you know, if he has less than four, you're allowed four per calendar year as a private citizen, basically, of Massachusetts. So if he's going to be selling off a large collection or something like that, he should probably do it through the local gun store, or, you know, we'd be happy to help too. We can consign the guns for him, or if he already has a buyer, we can facilitate the transfer there. But if it's just going to be a couple of guns and it's going to be on a private sale, then you can jump on the state gun transaction portal. If you Google EFA, like E as in Edgar, F as in Frank, A as in Apple, 10, EFA10, just Google that. You'll see the mass gun transaction portal pop right up, and then you can just do a private transfer. So he'll need his license to carry and his PIN number, and so will you. And then you just put in the seller information, the buyer information, and the firearm information, and then print out a copy for you and print out a copy for your friend, and there's no fee involved whatsoever. It's pretty easy and painless. But again, he can only do that 4 times in 1 calendar year.
All right. Thank you, Maria. The number is 844-500-4242. Let's go to Tom. You're next up with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. What's your question, Tom?
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. Good afternoon, Toby. My question has to do with the recent Supreme Court case, that Bruin case, and how it affects the assault weapons ban in Massachusetts, the AR ban. Like, how does that work with that ban going away so that we can, you know, purchase, transfer those types of firearms?
Yeah, that's a great question. The gift that was given to us with that Bruin decision as far as law-abiding, responsible to a, you know, community, is that Clarence Thomas pointed out in his decision that all future gun cases and all gun laws have to be held to strict scrutiny, because this is an enumerated right. It's not something that can be changed. It's not something that can be altered without a constitutional amendment. And so for that reason, you know, we have to be guided by text, history, and tradition of the Second Amendment in our country. So if there was no infringement put upon any of the laws of the land at the time the Second Amendment was ratified in 1791, then, or the Constitution was ratified, I should say, in 1791. So if they weren't banning guns, if they weren't banning private ownership, if they weren't making sure it didn't have certain military style features, if they, you know, weren't putting restrictions or encumbrances or liens on your rights, then they can't do it now, because the right to keep and bear arms was one that our forefathers thought was important enough to be put as number two. So it's not like this is something that should be trivial. And Clarence Thomas has often pointed out that the Second Amendment has become a disfavored right, because it was a 10-year stretch there that the Supreme Court even refused to hear a case. And so he was saying, look, this is a disfavored right. It is not a second-class right. It is just as important as the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law, illegal searches and seizures, your right to assemble and peacefully assemble or go to church. It's just as important as that. And if you can't put encumbrances on any of those rights, which we don't, then you can't put encumbrances on the Second Amendment. It has to be guided by the text, history, and tradition of the Second Amendment, which is awesome. It's called strict scrutiny. And what most courts, especially appeals courts and district courts, have used something called a two-step approach. They've used this intermediate scrutiny. So they've taken the history of it, but then they've also said, oh, but yet, look at the legislature's passed all these rules, so these laws, so we want to uphold what the legislature wants to do. And Clarence Thomas said, nope, that's one step too many. You got to eliminate this whole second step and use strict scrutiny for the viewport of all future gun laws and gun cases. So with that being said, I think once it's brought to the, whatever court it's brought to, eventually Supreme Court or appellate court, it'll probably be GVR'd, which is granted cert, vacated and remanded back to the lower court to fix it, which is happening all over the country right now. And it's exciting to watch. There's a couple of courts that have actually dug their heels in and refused to go along with it, so we're going to see what happens there. But it's fascinating to watch history play out, and I think that the Massachusetts assault weapons ban will eventually go away, but it's going to take time, money, and lawyers. So send lawyers, guns, and money to Massachusetts, and we'll get this thing fixed. But great question, Tom.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I think we have time for one more quick answer here, Toby. So let's go to Rita. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Rita.
Hi, Grace. This is Rita. I love your show.
Thank you, ma'am.
I just want to ask you one quick question about non-lethal weapons. Your station advertises the Hero 2020, and I was wondering if Toby knows Massachusetts seems to be the only place in New England that I have to have some kind of a license. And don't tell me that's a license to carry. And if it is, then I might as well get a gun.
Right. That is exactly the case as it pertains to electronic weapons like tasers or stun guns, unfortunately. They used to be outright banned. And Justice Scalia, before he passed away, sent a notice to the Catano case, but he sent a notice to Massachusetts that you're getting it wrong. You cannot deny people the right to keep and bear arms by saying they can't buy a stun gun. So fix it. And the Mass legislature's way of fixing it was to make it fall under the purview of the license to carry. So in order to get an electronic, you know, like a stun gun or a taser, you need to have a license to carry. You do not need a license to carry or an FID card anymore for pepper spray or for one of those like Byrna pistols, which shoots pepper balls, or Sabre makes one as well. So if it's a pepper spray, you can have it, but you can't have tasers or stun guns without an LTC.
All right. Thank you, Rita. Toby, please tell people where they can find you, where they can visit you at your store, and where they can listen to you.
Yeah, thanks, Grace. So you can always find us at CapeGunWorks.com. We had some great, exciting Cyber Monday deals yesterday, but there's always a good deal to be had at Cape Gunworks, and you can go right to the website. And remember, anything over $300 is free shipping. And yes, we deliver ammunition in Massachusetts, so we'll send out the Cape Gunworks delivery vehicle wherever you are in Massachusetts. Anything over $300 is free shipping. So you can shop online or come visit us right here at Cape Gunworks, 96 Airport Road in Hyannis. We're by the airport. And check out our brand new facility. I say brand new. We've been here for 5 years now.
It looks brand new, though, Toby.
Brand new to me. We're doing maintenance, making it look brand new again. So, 15-lane indoor range plus a beautiful showroom. It's a 20,000-square-foot facility. And we'd love to have you come and join us. We'll show you around and sign you up for a class, or you can shoot on the range or buy something new. And also, we have a radio show called Rapid Fire Radio. You can check it out, rapidfireradio.us. And we're on the air once a week. We do a two-hour show every week. We have a lot of fun doing it, take a lot of questions, and answer your questions on the live chat as we're recording. So you can join us over there as well. Get signed up whenever we go live, and we'll let you know when we're recording, and we'll make you a part of the show if you want to be on. So thanks for having us every week, Grace. We love being here, and I love answering questions. So, but give us a call at Cape Gunworks, and we'll help you out anytime you need something.
Yes, and to all the texters, the 617-978, we've got 863s. I know that I wasn't able to get to your messages. I did screenshot them, so I'll ask Toby next week when we have more time. Thank you to everyone for calling in. Thank you to Toby, as always. And, you know, we're almost into December, if you can believe it, and coming up in December is a really important day. It means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to our listeners. It's National Wreaths Across America Day, and it's Saturday, December 17th. I know things are crazy. I know life's throwing a lot at you right now, but it's still very important that we not forget our fallen heroes, because despite what's happening around us, we have a lot of reasons to be a very grateful nation. And in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and our freedoms and our ability to live freely in this beautiful country. And National Wreaths Across America Day is coming right up. It's going to be here before you know it. So you can join in the mission. You can take part in this in remembering our fallen heroes, in honoring those who currently serve and their families. And it's a great opportunity to teach the younger generations the value of their freedoms. And I know a lot of people reach out to me. They feel like that's something missing in the younger generations. Well, this is your chance to actually make things a little bit better. So a $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at over 3,500 participating locations across the country and overseas. Every year on December 17th, you'll see Wreaths Across America doing a lot of different segments with different news outlets, and you'll be really touched by it. It's incredibly moving, and you'll enjoy it so much more this year if you're able to take part in it. I took part in this. It's very easy to do. It's very easy to make a donation. So please sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. We will be back with Howie Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. There has been a lot of talk about anti-Semitism over the last couple of months, really, and that is for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons that it's become very much a focal point for the media is Kanye West has been going on some of these tirades online. So on Morning Joe, which is on MSNBC, they decided to talk about anti-Semitism and the dinner that Donald Trump had with Nick Fuentes and Kanye West. But here's something interesting. They brought on a guest to talk about anti-Semitism that if you weren't aware of his history, you might think there's nothing to see here. But Howie Carr is going to join us now, and he's going to tell us a little bit about why this guest was an ironic choice for Morning Joe.
That would be the Reverend Al Sharpton. I'm going to go over it. I think I put it on Howie's homework today if you want to check out the story, and I'll tweet it out a little bit later on. But Al Sharpton has got encouraged demonstrators on 125th Street in Harlem to stop white interlopers from taking over a building. He's challenged Jewish people to push back your yarmulkes and come over to my house. He's talked about diamond merchants in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. He's also mentioned talking about what he called, and this is his phrase, Greek homos. The guy has got this rancid record. He also wore a wire for the FBI once in an organized crime investigation. He's just a really nasty character, and he's paid a ton of money by MSNBC. It's an amazing thing that the guy who reported the Paul Pelosi story has vanished, Al Sharpton with his anti-Semitic, homophobic history remains on the payroll.
Yeah, and you know, Howie, it really is amazing that Joe Scarborough, who, you know, you can say what you want about Joe Scarborough, but he is not, this isn't new information for him. You know, it's not like he doesn't understand Al Sharpton's past when it comes to these incidences. And he's just acting like there's nothing to see here. Let's have the Reverend Al Sharpton on, and he'll suck up to him, and he'll, you know, fawn all over him.
As I said today, Grace, Joe Scarborough, when he left Congress, he could do one of two things. He could go back to Pensacola, Florida, and handle real estate closings and make $100,000 a year, or he could go become a talking head and just sell out all of his old political beliefs and make $5 million a year. And it didn't take him long to make his decision, did it?
No, it did not. Really quickly, Howie, I'm sure you've heard about this, but Joe Biden's heading to Boston in early December, which is just a few days away, and he's going to meet up with Ed Markey and Elizabeth Warren. The question is, will you be coming back from Florida to meet with this trio of geniuses here in Boston?
I'm going to leave it up to Elon Musk to handle my response on Twitter after he did such a great job with Ed Markey over the last couple of weeks. Ed Markey is just such a clown. I wrote about it for my column tomorrow, but he's always been a clown. But he's treating Twitter now like he used to treat remote controls back in the 1970s.
Yeah,
it's his prop.
There's a lot of people that Ed Markey shouldn't try to go up against, and Elon Musk is right up there at the top of that list. Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show planned for you. We'll be back tomorrow for our Wednesday program, and we will see you then.